This is Living on Earth. I'm Steve Curwood, speaking to you from Bonn, Germany, where there's a bit of optimism, if only for the moment, here at the Global Warming Treaty Talks. Delegates say they are making meaningful progress. We'll take a look at what that means in a moment, but first, some background. Nearly a decade ago, more than 150 nations, including the United States, ratified the UN Framework Convention to fight global warming. That treaty called on the U.S. and other developed nations to take the lead against climate change by reducing emissions at home and helping less developed countries with money and technology to keep their emissions in check as well. But that treaty failed, and emissions have kept rising, largely because there were no penalties for violations. So the parties went to Kyoto, Japan in 1997 to try to put some teeth into the treaty with what is now called the Kyoto Protocol. But efforts to work out final language have been mostly stalled since then, and the protocol almost died last year in The Hague. The problem? Nations are still balking at strict limits and enforcement mechanisms. And when U.S. President George W. Bush declared this spring he was against ratifying the Kyoto Protocol, it seemed all but dead. But it's not, at least right now. With me now to discuss the current Kyoto negotiations are Hermann Ott, a climate policy expert for Germany's Wuppertal Institute, Yuri Onodera, climate campaign coordinator for Friends of the Earth Japan, and Ian Bowles, former senior director of the environment for the National Security Council, in both the Bill Clinton and George W. Bush White Houses. I'd like to begin with a question I'll put to each of you. How would you define a successful outcome of these negotiations? Hermann Ott?
First of all, the best possible outcome would, of course, be if there was an agreement on a package, a full package, which is ecologically viable. Second best option, no deal in Bonn, and moving forward to ratification soon in the next year.
What do you mean by that?
The Kyoto Protocol is alive, it can be ratified, and it's workable. I sometimes compare it with a house. The house is ready. What we're negotiating here is the emergency exits, right? And when it comes to it, those who want to live in the house, the parties that ratify, they should be able to define the design, the location of those emergency exits.
Ian Bowles?
I would define progress as sending the message back to the American government that the rest of the world wants to move forward on a treaty on climate change, substantial progress in the rules for the Kyoto Protocol, allowing the rest of the world to set up and bring it into force in the coming few years.
Yuri Onodera?
Well, basically quite similar. We have to see realistically about the situation, and if we can get some sort of brief idea or agreeing upon a package, then we think that this is a move, moving forward the process. And also, if Japan can clarify its position on whether or not it's going to ratify, even the agreement are done without even U.S., then that would be another progress as well.
Now, Dr. Ott, you've consulted with the German government on the issue of climate policy, and the EU is pushing very hard right now on this treaty. From the EU's perspectives, what are the hurdles here? What are the principal hurdles?
The issue which made The Hague fail was sinks. That is the absorption of carbon by trees, soils, agricultural activities. And that is still the major question here. How far can this absorption be accounted towards the obligations of the party? Second major issue is compliance. We have to determine whether a party failed or achieved its targets and then determine what are the consequences for that.
Yuri Onodera, we're here on the third floor of the Maritime Hotel in Bonn. We're right outside the meeting place of the Japanese delegation. In fact, they're rushing back and forth right now even as we speak. Japan seems to be the deal maker or deal breaker at these negotiations. How are they making the most of that position?
Well, previously we were really worrying that Japan's position of two contradicting messages. But since last few days, the Minister Kawaguchi clarified at press conference, which I think kind of progress, that is that Japan is sincerely negotiate and she has a mandate to fully conclude agreement of the package in here. So that gives her some leverage, I hope, to conclude, though Japan's position putting on sinks in particular is quite extreme.
Let me be sure I understand this. So Japan is prepared to conclude a deal even though it doesn't want to say whether or not it would ratify such a deal. Am I understanding that?
Yes, you are correct, yes.
Let me turn to you, Ian Bowles. Even though the U.S. has said it's not going to participate in this protocol, they do still have a seat at the table, and some were worried that the U.S. would be obstructionist here. How do you see what's going on?
I'd say overall it's somewhat of a sad day for American diplomacy. We asked the rest of the world to delay this meeting with the idea that we'd come with specific proposals and alternatives. Those proposals and alternatives are not forthcoming, but we don't really have much constructive to offer here.
Now, the U.S. has a lot of technical expertise that our nation has gathered over the last, 11 years. What's happening to that? Is that being injected in these discussions? By that, I mean, you know, just knowing certain details and a wealth of almost reference knowledge for this process.
I think that's largely on the sidelines. I mean, the American delegation to The Hague last November was 150 people. Here, the United States has about 35. Many of its experts are on the sidelines. And indeed, much of the expertise that brought the Kyoto process forward came from the American government, and that's not being brought to bear now.
Briefly, from each of you, an assessment on the quality of the negotiations here. When things broke down in The Hague, the mood was very pessimistic. Kyoto dead, or certainly in a terminal path. What do things look like now? Yuri Onandar.
The last 4 days, technical negotiations weren't going much progress. But meanwhile, I think the most important purpose, one of the most important purpose of this conference is to make a political commitment, political agreement. And in this regard, our Prime Minister on Sunday said to the TV that this conference itself isn't the place to decide. And then there's a huge public outcry and reaction from including European leaders directly to Mr. Koizumi. And then he was later reiterated Japan's strong commitment to the Kyoto Protocol. So that is giving some momentum here. Beforehand, there was a very strong question about Japan's commitment on this entire process.
Ian Bowles, you were a negotiator at The Hague. Now you're watching. How do things look in this process?
Well, I think the good news is that these issues themselves have been discussed for years. They're well understood. If there's political will to move forward, there's sufficient understanding of the issues themselves to be able to make a deal. I've seen in the past few days some reasons for optimism. Some of the groups are moving more quickly to resolve issues, identify issues for the ministers. I still fear that there will be some of the fundamental differences between the parties that broke The Hague apart will continue. I tend to be of the view that moving forward on the rules and having progress is more important than getting all the details perfect.
And the political will, how much is out there?
Hard to know. I think that's, again, where the G8 plays a role to some degree. To what degree can the European leaders encourage the Japan, United States, and Canada, the other G8 members, to pay some attention?
Now, the G8 meeting of the industrialized nations is happening right now in Genoa as these climate negotiations are going on. Your prime minister, Yuri Onandar, has said to the United States that it won't come in without the United States being here, and yet is telling European leaders that it wants to move forward, Japan will move forward and ratify by the year 2002. What do you think will happen when your prime minister is in the same room with both the European and American leaders?
Well, one of the concerns in the last few weeks which we have is the Prime Minister's commitment to this issue is somehow ambiguous. His strongest agenda is the structural reform, and he went to the United States, and he didn't criticize President Bush clearly on this issue. So if European leaders can approach him and remind him the importance of this issue, since Ms. Kawaguchi, Environment Minister, is committing so much energy on this process, that reinforces the momentum within Japanese government to move forward and make a leadership on this negotiation.
Some people say, look, this can wait to Marrakesh in the fall, some kind of a comprehensive deal for climate change. Hermanat, how much can be on hold for Marrakesh?
Well, if Bonn fails, it would not be the end of the Kyoto Protocol, and it would certainly not be the end of international climate policy, which is the most important. Because even if this fails, even if Marrakesh fails, this protocol can be ratified and should be ratified and enter into force. International climate policy will remain an issue for the next century, for this century. And I'm very, very sure that within 5 or 6 years, those countries that are reluctant now, especially the United States, Canada, and Australia, will be on board, and they will be part of the solution, because the effects of climate change will be felt, and farmers and people in those countries will pressure the government. In the United States, it is already being felt. Bush ratings on environmental policy are the worst, and it's part of his, let's say, plunge in rating. Dick Morris said, it's the ecology, stupid, at the address of George Bush, and he might actually lose elections because of that.
Well, I want to thank you all for your time. Yuri Onodera is campaigns coordinator for the climate change campaign of Friends of the Earth Japan. Ian Bowles is former senior director for the environment for the National Security Council in both the Bill Clinton and George W. Bush White Houses. And Hermann Ott is a climate policy expert for Germany's Wuppertal Institute and an advisor to the German government. Thank you all for joining us.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.